Hello, welcome to Inside the Weight Room, a podcast where we talk about everything to do with the fitness industry, whether that's social media influencers to training regimens. We cover everything on this podcast for beginners and experts. Join us on this journey as we interview many different individuals regarding their training experiences, opinions, and many, many more. So sit tight and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the weight room, Thomas, or inside the weight room, as I should say. I'm your host, Josh Walters, and we're going into a deep dive of the gym world, going into as many different regiments and training styles as you can imagine. And if it's to what I believe, you do strongman. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. It is correct.
So how long have you been doing strongman training, and how different is it to everything else?
Probably since, I don't know, maybe late October, early November-ish. It's quite different from like the normal training styles that you'd expect. It's a lot, you know, lower volume, higher intensity stuff. It's a lot, well, I mean, you know, most training styles, especially like bodybuilding and stuff, it requires less core activation and stuff because it's a lot more sit-in movements, a lot, you know, more slow and controlled. So yeah, it's very different. I do a lot of, you know, like standing up pressing movements and stuff, especially overhead. It's great for foundational strength,
right?
But it's,
So
you know, it's not as good for aesthetics and stuff.
yeah, so would you say it's quite a niche training style to have compared to the majority of people that go to the gym or just start out?
Yeah, it's. I mean, most people don't really know much about it. All of the people that I've talked to about it, pretty much all they know about strongman is the name Eddie Hall, and that's, you know, that's because we live in England, so he's pretty famous here.
Yeah,
But
which
other
is
than that,
fair enough, because obviously world's strongest man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has kind of a right to be known. Plus, he does a lot of like social media and also like other marketing stuff, doesn't he? So it's
Yeah.
not just really weightlifting that he does. So I guess when you've got someone as big as him within that industry and that training style, it's good that he's got people at least aware of what it is. And
Yeah.
then that makes people curious, which is obviously what this podcast is for, to, you know, spark curiosity and try and get people to try new things in the gym. But what was the reason for starting this? Because if I'm aware, you didn't do this training to obviously start off with when you first started gym. What was the reason behind changing?
I just wanted something interesting. I mean, you know, personally, I've always had an interest in sports, but I've never really followed any of them very closely. You know, and strongman was just one of the, it was one of the first ones that really took my interest. You know, I think it's a very, very dynamic style of training. It's like Olympic weightlifting, but there's just more to it. You know, it's just more practical strength. It's the sort of thing that will help you out in day-to-day life. You know, when you think about powerlifting, you've got hinge, which is your deadlift, squat, and then you've got a pressing movement, and that is all that they do.
Yeah.
Whereas with strongman, you've got carry, pulling, hinging, squatting, overhead pressing, flat pressing, carry. You know, there's so many different areas of training that transfer over to everyday life and will make, especially, you know, for people getting older and stuff, it's going to be more practical for you to do. It may be a bit more difficult in the gym to do it, but it's something that's going to keep you healthy for a longer period of time, in my opinion.
Yeah, because I guess with, like I said, with the movements that you're doing, it's a lot more functional. And
Yeah, exactly.
despite some exercises that are a little bit less conventional, they'll still help with certain strong points, like, say, your core and your, say, lower back and all that type of stuff. And obviously, as you get
Yeah.
older, those aspects of your body deteriorate more than any, or more than others, like, say, your
Yeah.
lower back and all that. So I guess it is a good thing to kind of do that. And it's not just about like, not like ego lifting, but it's like, oh yeah, I can lift this amount of weight in this form. It's more, oh, this can actually benefit my life in the long term as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think of like, so you think of powerlifting, you know, bench press. How practical is that actually to your everyday life? Like, at what point in your life are you going to be lying on your back trying to press a weight off your chest? But it's not going to happen very often. But then you think about something like a sandbag carry, which is very, very common in world level strongman competitions, that you picking up something and carrying it in front of you is something that you're probably going to do every single day of your life. It's something that you want to be good at. And those are the sort of things that really carry over from that style of training.
So I guess that's a lot of the reasons why you wanted to get into it, which is have more fundamental strength that's more transferable rather than going to the gym and lifting for aesthetics.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, I think going into the gym, you should be first before looking at anything else. You should be trying to think, how can I live my life in a more sustainable way? How can I make it so that, day to day, it's just easy to get about? Because that is something that when you have it, you take it for granted. And then when you don't have it, you really, really need it back. Like you think of old people that have never done any exercise, and they've got to the point now where they need, hip replacements and knee replacements, and their body will just never be the way that it should have been. And they could have prevented that if they'd been active throughout their entire lives.
Yeah, and I guess with different training methods, you're going to get some degree of that, but you're not going to get the full benefits of doing strongman stuff to the point where you don't necessarily have to worry. Because I think, say powerlifting, you're going to get the stability of your core, your knees and your lower back and all that. But when it's compared to strongman stuff, I guess you could say there's a lot more better alternatives to doing such things that will also benefit your joints and everything like that for the long term.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at some of the best strongmans in the world, thinking of, Eddie Hall, that the way that he did all of his training was with zero supports. He didn't use a belt, he didn't use wrist wraps, he didn't use elbow sleeves, he didn't use knee wraps. The only things that he used were patella straps, which are just like, it's like a tiny thin little strap that goes over your patella tendon on your knee. And that is one of the reasons why he was so dominant, not because he was just inherently better than anyone else, but because he trained in a way that made himself always in a deficit. So when he built up his joint strength, he built up his core strength, and that's another reason why he was so huge. I mean, you look at his stomach when he deadlifted the 500. He looked absolutely gigantic, but such a massive proportion of that stomach mass was muscle. And you look at him now. Now that he's cut down, he's still got a huge blocky waist, and his abs are absolutely gigantic. And that's because he's trained in a way that's given him probably the strongest core of any person that's ever lived. And that all transfers through. You like there's an up and coming strongman now called Lucas Hatton, and he's about 6 foot tall. He's got very short arms. He's got short legs, quite a long torso, like I do. And he does not train any pressing movements at all. All he ever trains is his core and his legs, because at the end of the day, when you're standing up, all regardless of what muscles you're using, if you're pressing something, it's going to go through your legs and it's going to go through your core, because it needs to come from the floor, doesn't it? You're not floating. So the way that he trains for his overhead pressing is just by squatting. And it's a very it's something that you wouldn't think of. You think, oh, I want to increase my shoulder press. You'd think, oh, well, I need to start training shoulders more. But these things that you learn from doing strongman, like training without all these aids and stuff. And I mean, I do use them, but there's a time and a place to use them. And 99% of the time when I am training, I won't. And that's because I'm trying to actively build up those muscles that most people neglect.
And I guess with when, like, say Eddie Hall does a certain training methods, it's clearly worked out for a reason, and
Oh, yeah.
there's clearly merit to what it's doing. So for someone to follow in his footsteps, regardless of whatever point you're at, it's clearly for a reason.
Yeah.
But that also brings me on to my next part. Obviously, when you first got into doing this style of training, was there any particular people that you wanted to follow, such as like an Eddie Hall, where you kind of look at their training methods and you think, oh, like that's a pretty good thing? Because I know personally myself, I used to watch Samsung like a lot, and gone more seebum way, and all those like the more, I guess, people that are trying to be a bit more technical now. So I mean, even Samsung, like he's gone from just lugging the weight around to now being a little bit more scientific, dropping the weight down and getting the time and attention. Was there any people like that where you were like, oh, that's a pretty good method or different style to what I'm doing now, even though it's still within the same areas?
Yeah, there's so there's two main guys that I saw the way that they were training and the way that they were doing it, and I thought that's something that I'd like to replicate. The main one is Luke Stoltman, and then the other one is Mitchell Hooper. And Mitchell Hooper, he's just the guy right now. Like he just won the Arnold's this year. He won it last year and the year before. He won World's Strongest Man in 23. He won the Rogue Invitational. Is it pretty much every single competition over the last 2 years besides the 24 Strongest Man he won, and he only lost that because of a injury in his hand. He really, really badly tore one of his calluses, and it meant that he couldn't deadlift right, and on the carrying events he couldn't give it the same sort of performance that he normally would. But I mean, he's a I forgot what the term is. He's a professional kinesiologist. I think he has a bachelor's or a PhD in it or something like that. And he actually runs a kinesiology business, which is the science of movement.
Okay,
So,
so
like,
I hate to interrupt, but just for the people that don't know the technical terms, what roughly is that in like short terms?
it's, you think of like sports physiologists, when you get an injury or something and they help out with your injuries.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like that. It's just they treat people that have sports injuries and just older people as well, that are, like we talked about earlier, the people that are having just problems with their body, problems with moving from lack of exercise when they were younger. And yeah, he did it professionally, and he went to the uni in Australia for it. And yeah, that just, I mean, he is, I think he's about 130 kilos, which for a strong man is very, very light. But I mean, I know it seems ridiculous,
Yeah, that's
130 kilo body weight.
lightweight.
Yeah, but most of these guys that are in professional strongman, I think Eddie was 196, 196 kilos at his biggest. Yeah, Brian Shaw, I think he was well over 200 kilos body weight. I mean, he was absolutely gigantic. And then you have Thor
Jeez.
as well, who's, I think he's just around about 200 kilos body weight right now. But Mitch, in comparison, I mean, I believe he would have destroyed Eddie. I mean, he competed against Brian, and I think he beat Brian twice. So, he's easily beating these bigger guys to the point where the last events, he doesn't even really have to compete in them. He just does it for the sport of it. But
Okay.
he'll be so far ahead in points that he doesn't even need to do it.
Yeah, because I guess
And
with
yeah.
the qualifications, or to qualify for certain competitions, you've got to build up a certain amount of points once you've got your pro card, isn't it?
Well, so the way that it works in Strongman is they'll have, like, say they have 10 competitors. If you come first, you'll get in an event, you'll get 10 points. If you come second, you'll get 9. If you get third, you'll get 8. And as it goes, say you have 6 events, so that it caps out at the most points you can get is 60 if you come first in every event. So I mean, he doesn't win every event, but he's just incredibly consistent. He's a great presser. He's an insane deadlifter. I think he's at the most recent Arnold, he pulled 991 pounds completely raw, which is
Jeez.
just absolutely insane. I mean, almost a raw 1,000 pound deadlift, and he probably could have pulled 1,000 pounds on that day, but he didn't need to for the points. Yeah,
I
and I
guess
mean, we oh, go on.
I was just gonna say, just to move on to some other stuff, for I guess some more basic stuff. What would you say in terms of strongman exercises when you're first starting out, would you say would be best to get used to or start to learn first out of all the exercises?
I think when you look at strongman competitions, generally the ones that you've always got is some sort of overhead press. So whether you want to do log or axle, either of those is a pretty good just upper body strength builder. Then I would say squats. I mean, it's not very regularly in competitions, but it's such a good exercise just for building overall general body strength. deadlift, and then probably just a carry of some sort, whether you want to do sandbags or you have you could do stones, you could do Husafelts, which are like these big shields. Just any of those. It's just carries as well, like farmers' carries. I mean, they're really, really good for trap development, upper back development, grip development, just any of those. I mean, if you include all of those, I'd say you've got a pretty good basis for just building all round everyday strength. But also it's good to not neglect things like flat pressing, because I mean that's something that I've sort of fell into recently. Ever since I started my competition prep, I sort of threw flat pressing out the window. And I looking back at it now, I think I should have, even if it wasn't a flat press, it was just an incline press, I should have kept some sort of incline press in my training, because I mean my shoulders, I've probably added 15 kilos onto what I can press overhead, but my flat pressing and my incline pressing is exactly the same as it was. And that's something that I wish I hadn't neglected over the past 4 months, because maybe I'd be a little bit stronger overall for it.
Why do you reckon that was the case? Like, was there any particular reason why you chose to not do those types of exercises? Was you advised?
I just I don't know. I just thought that if I built up my tricep strength and my shoulder strength, that my bench would improve as well. But there's such a mental and technical basis behind bench pressing. Yeah, it's something that, as good as accessory exercises are, you're only ever going to get better at a lift by doing that lift.
Right, okay.
So yeah, it's something that I'm now reintroducing back into my training and doing more dumbbells as well, incline dumbbells when I go to the gym. It's something that, yeah, because I mean, you're looking at Mitchell Hooper, the way that he does his pressing, and it's one of the reasons why he's so good at it, even though I mean, he has the world record axel, which Eddie Hall held before him. Actually, no, that's a lie. I think, there's this giant African guy that had it before. I'll send you a picture of him. He's absolutely huge. He's like 450 pounds. I'll send you a picture of him later. But yeah, he now has that, and it's because he has so much back mobility. He can literally bend all the way back, and it looks like he's going to fold in half. But he
Oof.
bends so far back that he can actually recruit his chest into the pressing movement, and it just makes the weight fly up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with any pressing movement as well, you're going to be using some, like, even just a little bit of your chest because it's such a big muscle. So I guess, I mean, with like shoulder press as well, you're always going to recruit a little bit of like the upper chest. So I guess it's never, well, I think with most gym exercises, even if it's like an accessory part to it, it's still beneficial to hit those types of things. Obviously, a lot of exercises, such as say bench press, you train your chest, your triceps mainly, then you will sometimes hit a bit of your shoulders as well, like your front delts. And it, although you're not trying to, it's like, oh, I'm hitting a bit of front delts, you know, can't complain. It takes a bit of training from a little bit later, but obviously, if you're trying to isolate it, then obviously. That's where your different exercises come into play. I guess it's just having the knowledge of what exercises to do at what point for what muscle as well.
Yeah, there's a big trap that people fall into, which is specializing too early, which I'm sort of trying to find the balance between, because in general, if you pick a sport that you want to do, it's not necessarily going to make you overall fitter and overall better at everything. You need to have a good balance of everything so you can build up that foundation to then build on top of it in specific ways. And I think over the last couple of months, I've made a bit of a mistake in the way that I've gone too hard into specializing into one thing. Because this is the longest. I mean, I've been sort of on and off with the gym since I started, and this is now the longest that I've gone where I've fully committed to it. And part of that is because I enjoy the style of training so much more. But I can also look back and retrospectively think I might have actually been stronger now if I had tried to include some more stuff that I didn't necessarily want to do, but would benefit me in the long run.
But I guess one of the main questions I wanted to ask you today is with your specific style of training, what type of supplements would you are you taking, or would you recommend? Is there any at the minute that you're having a bit of a break from? Like currently, I've taken a bit of a break from taking creatine just to reset and then go back to it. What are the typical supplements you take for strongman stuff? Is it similar to anything else, or?
Yeah, I'd say that it is. I think the main ones are glutamine, which is great for your gut health, which is something that I have problems with. Then you've got, I mean, I don't really take creatine all that often. I don't know. I find it probably would give me some benefit, but it's just not the sort of thing that I think is going to overall benefit me enough to be worthy taking. Like I've from the times when I've taken it, it hasn't really made me feel any better in my like self, going about day to day. Whereas with glutamine, I notice a substantial difference in how I feel and my gut health and stuff.
I mean, I guess with creatine as well, as long as you're eating like your meats and especially your red meat, you're going to get that level of creatine anyway, because you are getting a level of creatine from pretty much anything you eat. It just depends on how much per, say, meal. Like, red meat is notoriously known for being packed with creatine, so if you're not necessarily taking like creatine powder or gummies, just eat red meat and you're pretty much getting the same amount, and you might not have that mental side to it, or that like kind of like a placebo where it's like, oh yeah, I'm taking creatine and this is happening. You might not get that, but you're still getting the creatine and you're still going to get the benefits, just like taking multivitamins. You're gonna get all the benefits without really realizing you are. But I guess with glutamine, if you're noticing that difference, maybe it's worth other people trying out. I mean, I'm definitely gonna have a little pop at it after hearing about this, just to see, because trial and error, who's to dismiss that side of things? So.
I mean, I don't really take many supplements. I try to take cod liver oil, because that's just joint health, especially when you're doing heavy compound movements. It's incredibly important.
Mean, I
But
think cod liver oil is also good for your just general health as well, isn't it?
I mean, but besides from those, I mean, I've done a bit of a cut recently, and I found that I don't really like taking supplements. I'd rather just try and have a well-rounded diet. Like I do eat a lot of red meat. I eat a lot of salmon. I eat a lot of fruit now as well. I get my vitamin C in by eating oranges and stuff. It's just, I find that having a healthy diet that gives me what I need from it has made me feel healthier than supplementation has, because you can supplement, but then if you eat pure just crap the entire time, even though you're supplementing, you're still going to feel bad.
Yeah, because I mean, I think one of the main things as well, is social media doesn't help with like obviously having supplements, because every single time I load up TikTok, it's, oh, get these creatine gummies, I've gone from this to this, when in reality you don't need them. It's like an accessory way. So like, if you can afford it and you're willing to, brilliant, you'll see some small benefits. But I think if you do your actual independent research on a lot of supplements, you don't necessarily need to take them. You may get certain benefits, like personal benefits, if you're certain like suffering with a certain like disability or whatever it may be, you may see some personal benefits. But reality is, if you're having a well-balanced diet with all your nutrients in, as well as lifting the correct weights and doing the correct exercises, you're going to see certain benefits because of that. You don't necessarily need to take these supplements, and I think it's not influenced correctly, I think, on social media, because again, it's social media.
It's just to them, it's just about, getting a profit margin, isn't it? That's why they promote them, because they get a little cut of it.
Right.
But
That's cool. I just going on to like, I guess, the more mental side. If I'm to be correct, you were supposed to be competing a couple of weeks ago in the
yes.
strongman competition, which didn't go your way because you weren't able to attend. Would you be able to give us a bit of a backstory into that, and then competitions with strongman competitions, I guess?
Yeah, so I was supposed to compete on the 21st, no, the 23rd of February, I think it was. But yeah, I wasn't able to. I wasn't very well. I spent the entire week in bed, just, sleeping 12, 13 hours a day. So yeah, I had to pull out, but I've entered another competition for, I think, June or July time. So yeah, I've gone into another prep for that. It's a bit of a different competition. Originally, I had entered in the under 95 kilo category, so I had to cut down a bit. I went from 104 kilos down to 92 for the competition, and then yeah, I got sick the week before, so it was pretty much a 3 month cut that felt like it was for nothing. But it's given me a better platform now to work towards my next competition. So didn't lose everything, I guess. It's
Yeah.
yeah. It's
I mean,
just
I guess, I mean, with the preparation coming down to that losing the weight, you can take merit of being like, oh, I did that and it didn't go in my way in the week off, because you can't help not getting ill or getting ill, you can't help those types of things. It just happens.
yeah.
But at least you had the thought process of being able to say, I did that, I cut down to the weight, I was prepared, I was ready to go when I was called upon. Unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. Bringing the
Yeah.
next challenge, and again going back to the mental side, there's many ways how you could have took it, just gave up. But now you've booked your next competition, you've got even more time to prepare for it. And I guess with this, especially with it being summertime as well, it'll be a lot more, I guess, what's the word, like a lot more better, like vibes, better moods, because it's
Yeah.
summertime as well. And
Yeah,
obviously with
the training during the winter wasn't fun.
no. And also, when it comes down to summer, though, when it gets so hot in the gym, not enjoyable either. But then
Yeah,
again,
that's true.
I guess obviously the gym that me and you do share is now 24/7, so we can go 3 a.m. if we want to, rather than last year
Yeah.
when it was, I think it turned 24/7 in August. So
Yeah.
yeah, I guess you can prepare for that and obviously go from there. I mean, hey, maybe in the next couple weeks or so, looking to get in a coach or something, or even just a couple of tips from people who've done it in the past as well. You've got the time to do that now.
Yeah, I have been looking. There's some guys on Instagram that I follow that are pretty. I'm pretty interested in contacting them about it. But it's just, I don't know. It's in some ways it's nice to be able to say that I've done it all myself, and
Yeah.
then but then in other ways it's like maybe I do need the, maybe I do need the extra help. But I mean, the last time I talked to you about all of this, I wasn't sure whether I was going to make weight, because
Yeah.
it's not something that's easy, especially working in the food industry. And, I've never had the most healthy relationship with food.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, being surrounded by food, especially unhealthy food all day, every day, it's when you're starving, it's absolute torture.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I guess with obviously with hiring a coach and stuff like that, you look at the likes of Sam Sulek, and he's, as far as everyone's aware, he's not done it with a coach or anything like that. So everyone's looking at him saying he's got to that point. Just one is it IBB, no, IBFF or IBBF?
IFBB.
Yeah.
You got the right letters. That's what's
Yeah,
important.
close enough for that. Yeah, he just got his pro card without a coach. So everyone's looking at him now being like, oh, he did that without a coach. However, if you look at the likes of Seabomb, the amount of coaches he's had, and obviously pretty much a record time, well, he's, I think he's the leading in the classic Olympia
Yeah,
wins.
I've.
Yeah, I think there's a couple other people that have got more Olympia wins in different categories, but he's got it mainly for classic, being as it's still quite a recent category. But if you look at the likes of them, numerous coaches, look in the past of Arnold, numerous coaches. So I guess there's no shame in it, but I guess also with yourself, I know you do a lot of research yourself, so
Yeah.
It's just having the information, and again, like what we said earlier, there's no harm to learning more. No one's ever been affected by learning more information, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I'm still learning, finding that I haven't really improved my flat pressing and stuff. It's just little things like that that you learn over the course of a 2 or 3 month period of training in a certain way that makes you think maybe going into the next prep, I need to reintroduce this and just see what it does for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as well, if you look at the fact that both me and you have just crossed our 2 year mark of going to the gym, and you've only recently just started doing strongman training, you're going to be learning a lot of stuff over the next couple of months, just as you would anyway. Like,
Yeah.
you learn stuff even 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, and when it comes down to your first competition, whether you do well or not, you can be like, okay, that happens on the big day. I know what to expect, and then you get a bit more comfortable with it as you go along. I mean, look at Sam Sulek at the Arnold a couple of weeks ago. He looked a lot more confident on stage than he did the week before at the Las Vegas show that he appeared at. And obviously, he won both of them, but the comments after the Arnold were a lot better than the one at Vegas.
Yeah, he came in a bit more conditioned and a bit more confident for the Arnolds, and it was just overall seemed like he a better performance for him,
So the
which yeah, it,
comfortability is obviously a big part to it as well.
yeah.
But I mean, I guess being un I mean, obviously you can be overprepared for stuff, but also being underprepared isn't necessarily a bad thing because it just means more areas to learn.
Yeah.
And especially with yourself, who's still yet to make their debut at a competition, there's so much more to learn. And I guess the one way you could look at it for a peace of mind is just excitement for that, rather than, oh, that's a bit scary. It's like, oh no, I've got so much more to learn, which is, I think, the gym in a nutshell. There's so much
Yeah.
to learn. It's exciting. And I mean, again, 2 years down the line, I'm still excited to go to the gym every single day because it's like, oh, I might learn something new today or talk to someone new or something like that.
Yeah, I'm excited for the next training period. I think I'm gonna try and put on a bit more mass, get a bit stronger, and yeah, just see where it takes me. But I'm excited to just that's such a big part of doing strongman is the excitement to learn new things because there's just so many different events, you know. There's so many that I haven't even been a chance, you know, had a chance to get on the equipment and try yet, like Atlas stones and just stuff like that. And frame carries, yokes, you know, just all these things that I've been doing this now for 4 or 5 months and I haven't even tried them yet. And it's something that I'm going to get to try in the future, and I think that's pretty exciting.
And again, like I just said, it's all the excitement of going to the gym. There's never a dull day within the gym industry. And I think just in general as well, like, you're constantly learning stuff, and you never know when you're going to change your split, which is exciting enough as it is, and that's just your routine. Never
Yeah.
mind changing an exercise or even training your training completely. Well, I mean, I've been considering myself whether I want to start competing once I finish university, and what area I'd like to go into. And again, I could go 3 weeks down the line and be like, nah, I want to continue doing bodybuilding all the way how I am. Or, and then 3 weeks down the line, decide, nah, I'm going to do powerlifting or even a strongman or even go to calisthenics. Like, you've got so many different aspects that we can go into, and who's to stop you? Like, you could
Yeah.
do 6 months of powerlifting, 6 months of strongman. Whether it's going to be beneficial, probably not if you're going to constantly keep on changing. But I guess there's no time limit, thankfully.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's time to call it there, I'm pretty sure.
Cool.
But thank you for coming on the podcast inside the weight room. I hope to get you back on again at one point. But yeah, good luck in your future competitions, and yeah.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Weight Room. We hope you enjoyed this episode and hope you join us in our journey with interviewing many, many more guests with many different experiences and opinions. New episodes are out every single week, so I hope you stay tuned. Thank you very much.